Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Luke chapter number 18, verse number 1 says this, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, I want to talk to you about that thought for just a little while tonight. Father, you know the need of our service. Father, Lord, I thank you for the privilege of prayer. I thank you, God, for answering prayers today. God, I thank you, Lord, for answering prayers even since we've been at church today. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we look into your word tonight. I pray, God, that we'd get a clear understanding from it. Help us to say nothing out of context, Father. Put a bridle about our mouth. Help us to say only the things, Lord, that you would have us to say tonight. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I know that we can read down through verse number 8 and we can look at this parable, and there's a lot of things that we could pull out of this parable, but I really just want to center in on that first verse tonight and really just talk to you a little bit about not fainting in our prayer life. Not fainting in our prayer life. I want to say this to you tonight. Prayer is one of the greatest privileges that we have as a born-again child of God. To think that we have the privilege, that we have the opportunity to enter into the presence of a holy God and let our petitions be made known before God. I don't know about you, but it is an exciting thing to me to know that I can talk to the Creator of all the world tonight. Amen. What a joy that is. What a privilege that is. You know, God could have made some other way for us to communicate with Him. He's God. God could have chose some other way for us to do that. You know, God could have chose for it to happen the way that the Catholics do it, that you go to a pope and that pope can take it on. But I sure am glad that I don't have to go to a pope with no hope that calls himself mother or calls himself father, dresses like mother and can't have babies. I'm glad that I can go straight into the throne room of God. I can talk to God tonight. I can have fellowship with our Heavenly Father tonight. When I read this verse, or actually I woke up this morning with this verse on my mind. We was going to Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead in our series that we're doing on the miracles of Christ, but I woke up with this verse on my mind about fainting not, and not allowing our prayer life to go by the wayside. I thought about this as I began to read this verse. The Bible said that men ought. I looked that word ought up, and here's what it means. It is necessary. There is a need of. It is right and proper. That's what that word means when you look it up in the blue letter Bible. It means that it is right or proper. It is necessary. There is a need of it. And can I say this to you tonight? It is necessary that we pray in the day and age in which we live. If there's ever been a time that you prayed for America, amen. If there's ever been a time that you prayed for the church, if there's ever been a time that you prayed for our young people, man, I'm telling you something. Our country is trying their best to change the history of our nation and what our country was founded on. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If there's ever been a time that it is necessary, if there's ever been a time that there is a need of praying, church, it's in the day and age in which we live today. Today, that we ought to do that. It's necessary for us to do that. Then he goes on and he says this, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. I looked that word up, faint, right there, and here's what it means. To be utterly spiritless. To be utterly spiritless. To be wearied out or to be exhausted. And can I tell you something? When you don't go to the Lord in your prayer life daily, I'll say this to you, you're going to be utterly spiritless. Amen. You say, preach, I want the power of God on my life. Let me tell you what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to get a hold of the horns of the altar, and you're going to have to pray. You said, preach, I want to walk right in a world that's wrong. Let me tell you what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to pray. It's more than reading our Bible. It's more than going to church. Let me tell you what you got to do. You got to pray. You know what? There was one thing the disciples asked the Lord to teach them. They didn't say, teach us how to heal people. They didn't say, teach us how to preach. They didn't say, teach us how to teach. You know what? The disciples said, Lord, teach us how to what? How to pray. How to pray. My dad has said this for years. If you've heard him preach much at all, you've heard him say this. If you want to see things happen, pray. You want to see things happen, pray. Can I say something to you tonight? Let me tell you the reason that we've saw happen, what we've saw happen around here, because of prayer. Because somebody prayed and got a hold of God. That men ought to always do that. And here's the thing. If we don't, you know what's going to happen? We're going to faint in our prayer life. I began to study fainting out today. What causes a sinkable episode or someone to faint? And there was a list of things, Brother Brian, but here's one thing that I found interesting. Here was one thing that causes people to faint. Hunger. They don't eat enough. When you don't eat enough, you know what you'll end up doing? You'll end up passing out. You'll end up fainting. You say, preacher, what in the world has that got to do with the service tonight? Let me tell you something. When if you don't get in this word right here, you want me to tell you what this word will do? This word will feed you and cause you to get on your knees before God. And when you're not in the word, you're going to faint in your prayer life. You're going to faint in your prayer life. You know what something else I found out was? Here's something else I found out that causes people to faint. Cardio issues. A heart issue. Let me tell you the reason you pray no more than you pray. It's a heart issue. It's not a preacher issue. It's not a neighbor issue. It's not a husband issue or a wife issue. It's a heart issue. Here's something else that I found that causes people to faint. It says when they get dehydrated, then they'll faint. Whenever you study the Word of God, you know what you find? There is times that running water is in our Bible. And that running water is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. And can I say something to you tonight? When that running water is not in your life, when the Holy Spirit of God is not dominating your life, you want me to tell you what you'll do in your prayer life? You'll faint. You'll faint tonight. I thought about a couple things right here. Let me show them to you. In fainting in our prayer life. Number one, I see the defilement. I see the defilement. Now, I know I normally preach expository, but I'm just going to give you a little topical thought. I see the defilement. What causes us to faint in our prayer life? There's a defilement. What did Psalm say in 66:18? He said this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Lord's not going to hear our prayers when there is defilement in our life. I've said this many times. You know, each time we pray, we should ask God to forgive us when at our shortcomings and the sins that we've committed. Here's the reason why. We never know when we're going to need to go to God in an urgent prayer for the need of someone else or the need of our family or even the need of ourselves. And if we're not careful, there'll be defilement all in our prayer life. And we'll have to spend time getting right with God and getting right with our brother before we're even able to pray. Defilement tonight. I'm not going to be long. Defilement tonight. I thought about this. What causes us to faint in our prayer life? Defilement will. But can I say this? Doubt. Doubt. The Bible said in James, let him ask in faith. Let him ask in faith. I thought about this. I have no trouble, and we're praying that God would give us leadership and wisdom and guidance. I've not said a whole lot about it lately, but we are, or I can say I am, and I've asked a few others to help me pray about it, fervently praying about what to do on a new auditorium. Matter of fact, I was on the phone today with metal building companies and talking to them about different things, and hopefully probably towards the end of next week or the beginning of the next week, Colt and I is going to get back together the contractor that we used to do the Sunday school wing. Ain't going to talk about some things, but I want to say something to you. I have no problem believing that God can build a new auditorium for Ladonia. I have no problem believing that God can build a new auditorium for Southside. You know what I have a problem believing? That God can do it for us, Brother Brian. That, now somebody say amen tonight. I have trouble believing that God can do it for me. That God can do it for me. And can I tell you something that will defile our prayer life? Doubt will defile our prayer. We must pray believingly that God will do it. I give you this and I'm going to move on. Brother Chris Danley is one of the preachers out of our church. And man, I love Brother Chris to death. Can I tell you, I'm going to steal his thunder. I am so proud of Chris Danley. He sent me a message last night of Marco Polo and he was crying. And I thought, oh, Lord, Livy and I was checking cows and looking at the cows. And I thought, oh, no, something's wrong. And he said, preacher, I just got to brag on God a minute. And I thought, well, everything's all right then. He said, I sent you a text. I don't know if you've looked at it yet, and which I hadn't. And he said, preacher, when you look at that text, you'll see how much of my Bible college that I've got done. Chris just finished his graduate this past year in Bible college, and he was so excited. He said, preacher, he said, I struggled through high school. He said, I struggled all along. And he said, when God called me to preach, he put a desire in my heart to know more about him. And he said, I'm so excited, and I'm not stop until I get my doctorate. And I said, man, hammer down. Matter of fact, we started talking about different things for him to start writing his theses on and different things like that. But I'll never forget, Brother Chris was one, and still to this day, is one of the most praying people that I know. Now, I can say that he's not here with us tonight. I can say that he's one of the most praying people that I know. Brother Chris lives in a spirit of prayer. He really does. And we prayed together a lot. We've been all over the mountains praying. We prayed in the mountains of Graham County. We prayed in the mountains around here. Brother Chris prays. Amen. And here's what he said. He came in the prayer room one night. He hadn't been preaching long. And he said, boys, I need you to pray for my brother. He's lost. And I said, all right, we're going to pray for him. Boy, we started praying for his brother Brandon. We prayed for him for several years. Several years. And he came in one Sunday night. He said, boys, I got a praise report. And I said, praise God, what is it, Brother Chris? He said, I just want to thank God for saving my brother. And I said, well, hallelujah, when did that happen? He said, it ain't yet, but I'm already thanking him for it. Can I be real honest? I had a little Thomas syndrome whenever he said that. Come on now, y'all help me tonight. Don't act like y'all ain't never been there before. I thought, man, Brother Chris, you know, it's one thing to thank him in private, but now you come out and done it publicly. Man, I'm going to tell you something. About 4 or 5 weeks went by, and one Sunday night, or it may have been one Wednesday night. It was a Sunday night or Wednesday night, I can't remember. Brother Chris come running back in the church, and boy, he was a squalling and a crying. I thought Jasmine had smacked him in the parking lot. I didn't know what had happened. I said, Hoss, what's wrong? He said, I told you God was going to do it. I told you God was going to do it. I said, you told me God was going to do what? I told you God was going to save Brandon. He went down to the church house tonight and made her took a Bible and led him to the Lord. Praise God, preacher, he saved my brother. Let me tell you what he done. He prayed believingly. Let me tell you what will cause our prayer life to faint. Doubting. Can I just say this? Now unto him that is able to do what? Whatever he needs to do. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. We've got to believe him. I said I wasn't going to be long. There's defilement. There's doubt. Let me tell you something else that'll cause us to faint in our prayer life. Danger. You remember the story of Daniel being thrown into the den of lions. Not a lion's den. There's a difference in a lion's den and a den of lions. Daniel being thrown into that den of lions if he prayed. And you know what he done? He prayed anyway. And whenever he got into that den of lions, well, we all know the story. God had given him a case of the lockjaw, and he just snuggled up to him and went to sleep that night. Let me tell you something, young people. As you're fixing to go back to school, I was talking to the kids on yesterday, and We was riding around. We had took the stuff up there and we was coming back and we was talking and I was picking on Landon a little bit and him fixing to go into this big freshman year. And I told him, I said, man, I said, you're going to be all right. And I asked Dana, I said, are you going to look after him and take care of him? She said, no, I'm going to bully him. I thought, well, we'll see how that goes for you. I told him, I said, I know some boys, it's my juniors at the fire department that's going there, and I said, I'll tell them to take care of you. But let me tell you something, we can say that we're going to pray, we can say that we're going to carry our Bible down at the schoolhouse, and they can't stop you from doing that. We can say that we're going to do that, but when danger comes, peer pressure comes, bullying comes, that goes to all of us here tonight. We'll faint in our prayer life. I thought about this. Can I show you something else? Distractions cause us to faint in our prayer life. Distractions will cause us to faint. Distractions. My daddy said this years ago, and I'll never forget it. Here's what he said. The devil will keep you busy doing a good thing, keep you from doing the best thing. The devil will keep you busy doing a good thing, keep you from doing the best thing. I'm very active in our community, in our sheriff's office, in our local fire department, emergency services in our county. And you know what, Brother DC, every once in a while I have to remind myself, the devil will keep you busy doing a good thing, keep you from doing the best thing. Are you with me tonight? That's a good thing. It's a great thing to help your community. It's a great thing to be there. I'm glad that I'm able to be there for our officers in tragic situations and do debriefings. I'm glad that I'm able to help my community and help my neighbor. But can I tell you something? The main priority is walking in the center of God's will and preaching the Word of God. And if we're not careful, we'll get distracted and our prayer life will begin to go down. Our prayer life will begin to go down. Let me show you one more. Delay. Delay will cause us to faint in our prayer life. Delay. People ask me all the time, preacher, will you pray about this? Preacher, will you pray about that? Probably whenever people starts out the door tonight, somebody will probably mention something to me. Preacher, will you pray about this? And you know what I do, brother? I'll be glad to help you pray about that. And then immediately in my mind and in my heart, I pray about that right that second. Let me tell you the reason why. Let me tell you the reason. Distractions will come and delay will come. And I'm going to tell you something. If I don't write it down, don't nobody say that's part of old age. If I don't write it down, I'm probably not going to remember it. Delay. I want to encourage you to do something tonight, church. Don't delay in your prayer life. Not, well, you know what? I'm going to sleep an extra 10 minutes instead of getting up 10 minutes early and praying this morning. And you know, get up 10 minutes early and pray. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed how it changed your day. Be amazed. You say, preacher, I don't even know that I can pray 10 minutes. Write you a prayer list. Write you a prayer list. If you was to go in my tablet tonight and go to the notes section, you'll find out that there's different prayer lists in there. There's my church prayer list. There's my preacher friends prayer list. There's my family prayer list. And you know what I'm telling you something? You write yourself notes, write yourself a prayer list. And look, there's nothing wrong with opening your eyes and going down through that prayer list while you're praying. I've said this many times. There's a lot of times that I sit right here when I'm praying for our church. Let me tell you the reason why. I know where everybody sits at. And I can call your name sitting right here because I know where you sit at. I know where you sit at. And you say, preacher, what are you saying? Open your eyes and read through that prayer list. Don't delay in that prayer. Don't delay will cause us to faint. You know what the Word of God said? The Word of God says it's necessary. I'm not taking the Bible out of context. I'm not adding to it. That is the definition of that word. It's necessary. There's a need of it. It is right and proper that men ought, it's necessary to always to pray and not to faint. May we not faint in our prayer life. May we not faint in our prayer life. May one of the greatest One of the greatest privileges of being saved is being able to talk to our Heavenly Father. I know I said this the other night, and God knows my heart, and I think Brother Charlie knows I'm not trying to embarrass him. He said, God is just like you sitting in the truck with me. Like you was sitting in the truck with me. And then you got to add the rest of it. And I looked down and I was running 80 miles an hour. That's what he said while he's praying the other night up here. He said, God is just like when I was going up the road, you were sitting in. Let me tell you what that was. That was that communion with our Father. That communion. I'll never forget. We done that Daniel fast a couple years ago. And which we several of us done it this year. The first of the year, I always challenge our church to do that Daniel fast. And in that 21 days, I laughed at my daddy so much because my daddy, he was just funny. My daddy is a meat eater, man. I'm telling you, a meat eater. And matter of fact, the day that we come off that Daniel fast, him and Richard Boyd and Mama and Miss Terry went to Dario, and Daddy got, I think it was 2-foot-long hot dogs just as soon as he come off of it. And I told him, I said, you'll probably be sick, up all night sick. But anyway, here's what he said about the fourth or the fifth day into that. He called, I don't know about all this, John. I said, man, don't faint in your prayer life, Dad. I mean, you're the one that taught me to pray. I said, don't faint in it. Don't faint in it. He said, I don't know about all this. He said, but here's what I'm trying my best to do for 21 days. I said, all right. He said, I'm trying my best to walk in the spirit of prayer for 21 days. He said, everything I'm doing, I'm trying my best to be in the spirit of prayer. If I'm mowing, I'm trying to be in the spirit of prayer. If I'm in the jail, I'm trying to be in the spirit of prayer. He said, if I'm riding up a road, I'm trying to be in the spirit of prayer. If I'm eating, I'm trying to be in the spirit. Whatever I'm doing, for 21 days, I'm trying to live in the spirit of prayer. I want to ask you a question. I wonder what would happen at our church if between now and Sunday, every one of us in here tried to live in the spirit of prayer. I wonder what would happen Sunday. I wonder what would happen. It'd be amazing what would happen. Amen. It'd be amazing what would happen. I want to say this to you tonight. You want to see God do things in your life? You want to see God do things? Pray. Pray. Boy, I can go back, and I know last year was different. We didn't get to pray like we did, but not collectively. Boy, I can go back. And I got to thinking today, Livia and Victoria and I was riding around on the golf cart, and we rode down to the old baptizing hole where we used to baptize. And there's a big rock down there. And boy, I remember them early mornings, me and Jake, when Brother Jake was here, and Brother Chris and Mater, Brother Scotty when he was still here, and all those men. Thank God they're out pastoring now. But I remember those early mornings, on Sunday mornings, we'd get up before the sun ever come up. We'd walk off that hill back there. We'd always walk down in there to it. And we'd lay down on those big rocks, Brother Andy, and we'd pray. I remember one Sunday morning, I thought Mater met Jesus. We started up that hill, and him and Jake decided they was going to race to the top of that hill. When we got to the top, Jake was a whole lot younger and in shape, and Mater was fat and out of shape. And we got to the top of the hill, and Mater was laid out. It was awful. I thought he's going to die right there. But, I seen God. But Tim, I seen God do some amazing things. May we not faint in our prayer life. You want to see the church filled up, you go to praying. You go to praying. You got to put faith to it. You got to believe Him. Faith without works is what? It's dead. That's the reason we've developed this new visitation program through this app that we're running now. Boy, we're knocking on more doors than we've ever knocked on. And boy, God's given the increase out of that. But in that, we've got to pray. Hey, look, you know, tomorrow night, as we're walking up to every door, Brother Heath, when we get out of the van, we start towards those doors, we're being a spirit of prayer going to that door. Oh, God, let somebody come to that door. Give us the right words to say. God, lead us to the right house. Amen. God, help us find another Dakota Queen tomorrow night. He's not mad and out tonight. He's preaching tonight. God give us another Dakota Queen tomorrow night on visitation. Boy, I'd love to find another old rough boy that's practically living in a drug dealer's home. And put him on a van, let him cut the backs of the seats out again. That's the only reason we never fixed that seat on that van back there, so we can remember it. Bring him into the house of God and let Brother Heath preach a word of God to him down there in the youth church. And God save his soul and call him to preach and send him out in the ministry. God, do it again. God, do it. It'll come through prayer, church.